Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Limits is so kind and smart. His favorite ball cop is Paul Blart.
Oh, we're back. Is there any other mall cop other than Paul Blart?
I guess
that would have to be your favorite one, yes?
Not familiar with any others, no, unless you know any local mall cops that I can become friends with.
I think T-Bird, that's an underrated movie. Call me crazy. The first Paul Blart. I didn't think it was necessary to have a sequel, but the first mall cop Paul Blart or whatever the name of it was funny. It was legitimately funny.
Never saw the sequel, but
who's the guy in it?
Evan James.
Kevin James, yeah.
Yeah. You like the first one?
Oh, yeah. It's a great movie.
I agree. Limits, yeah. Are you on board with that?
Yeah, I think both are honestly pretty good. I like when he's riding around on the little scooter, just kind of bumping into people and yelling.
Yes, even the visuals are funny. I am at JP Roofing and Siding right now, North for Sales, Route 30. You should join me. It's for a really good cause. It's our WIN campaign, Women and Children in Need. You can donate to help victims of domestic abuse this holiday season. You can also go to WCSPittsburgh.org and come on in and have a slice or two of Bishop's Pizza. The owner, Gary, from right across the street right here. Awesome place. You can stop in and with a donation, get a slice or two of Bishop's Pizza. Every little bit helps. Would love to see you if you're anywhere out here near Route 30 and North for Sales. All right. Let's do a little Pitt basketball. They look like they're pretty good. George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 30 years. George, are you on board? It seems to be a consensus that the original mall cop Paul Blart movie was a hit, was underrated. Do you agree?
I totally agree, Joe. And I think when Jeff Capel saw his transfer portal class for this year, he looked at it like Paul Blart looked at Amy in the movie. I think he's in love with this roster. I think they've had a great start to the year. And like you said, I'm a big fan of Paul Blart movies.
Very nice transition there. So the word, the question, George, that seems to get asked a lot is this Pitt team better than last year's? Your opinion, and if so, why?
Yes, I think they're better than last year's. They're deeper. That's the quick answer. They're deeper. I think the second point, getting a little bit more specific, is their front court play. Their big man Cam Corin, paired with Guillermo Diaz-Graham, offers a really versatile look down low. Last year they had Federico, who everyone knew can block shots. He could finish alley-oops. This year they have Cam Corin. He can shoot the ball. I mean, he pulled up and shot a three from the top of the key the other day. He can back down defenders. He's getting better in the post. More importantly, he was in the 99th percentile last year in college basketball in finishing at the rim. Like, this guy does not miss around the rim. He either gets fouled or he makes the shot. He's got great touch. So just having that big man who can score, who can be a factor in your offense, opens up the floor for everyone else. Last year, defenses didn't have to guard Federico outside of legitimately 4 feet away from the basket. This year, they do. They have to guard Corin. You don't know if Guillermo Diaz-Graham, who's a good shooter, is going to, you know, set a screen for a guard at the top, or if Corin's going to do it. So the guards are just playing free because of these big men.
George, Jalen Lowe had a triple-double, 11 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists against VMI in Pitt's last win, 93-48 over VMI. Now, you and I talked about this a lot last year, just having Bub Carrington and Jalen Lowe play together. How much do you think that helped Lowe going into this year, his sophomore year, and what is potentially his ceiling?
Oh, man, I think it helped him a lot. I think it helped him a lot. Playing alongside good players, playing alongside an NBA player, is obviously going to be a big boost to your game. And for Jalen Lowe, it's obviously worked wonders so far this year. I think his shooting hasn't been as good the last few games. But as Jeff Capel talked about after the last game, every other part of his game seems to be getting better, including his confidence, including his leadership, which I would argue is the most important, you know, skill that Jalen Lowe can have for this year's team. They've got scores. Damian Dunn and Ish Leggett are both averaging more than 15 points per game. Jalen Lowe, if he has an off night, this team has shown that they can win with other people scoring. So Jalen Lowe's gotten much better as a leader. He's gotten much louder, much more vocal. And I think that was really, you know, a key for him last year. We saw him, you and I saw him grow into that role last year playing alongside Bub, who was kind of a quieter guy, not always on ball kind of guy. So Jalen really took that into his own hands coming into the second half of last year. Coming into this year, he's been impressive. In terms of how good can he be, I mean, this guy's been on lottery pick draft boards for next year's NBA draft for a couple months now. I think that's realistic. I mean, he's got height. He's about 6'2", 6'3". That'll play in the NBA. Now, you have to be good at you got to be really good at something if you're going to be that small and play in the NBA. And he's the kind of guy who can facilitate a game, who can shoot the ball too. But he's really quick. He's really smooth. He gets to his spots. Like, Jalen Lowe is always, when he's playing against defenders, like, he is always a concern for the other team because he can break anyone down. Any defender can get crossed up or can get blown by Jalen Lowe. He's a real special player even when he's not scoring.
Pitt's had success against the likes of Duke, Carolina, Virginia over the years. But one thing that's kind of been lacking, George, is a true big. I mean, Cam Corin comes in at 6'10", but the Diaz Grahams are kind of tweeners, can play as a big, can play as a guard. Do you think that Pitt has the size that it needs this year, and is Guillermo taking an extra step part of that?
I do. I do think they have the size that they need this year. I do think, like you said, I think Guillermo's been a real solid factor. And like I kind of brought up earlier, Guillermo just offers something different. You know, West Virginia, you saw it against them. They were a team lacking size, and they're a high major team. Pitt totally destroyed them in that game, like you saw, and in part because of their bigs. Like, you have two of these guys on the court. You know, Cam Corin, 6'10", 6'11", Guillermo Diaz-Grahams, a seven-footer. You have two guys over 6'10 on the court at the same time. Pitt likes to run a lot of pick and rolls to get their offense going, to get Jalen Lowe and Ish Leggett and Damian Dunn downhill. So you have two of these guys who can set the pick. Guillermo can, pop off of that screen and hit a three. You don't know which way he's going to go. You don't even know if Cam's going to set the pick. So there's so many different options that those two bring to the table that it's just been a real big boost, and it's opened up this whole offense for Capel and company. And the opposing coaches have told us that. Like, after each game, the opposing coaches have said, like, man, this offense is, you know, multidimensional. They're very hard to stop. And I think the bigs are really the driving force behind that, and it's just letting these guards explode and play with freedom. I mean, Ish Leggett and Dame Dunn are both shooting over 47% from three. Like, those are outrageous numbers. They're both averaging over 15 points a game. And I think they've gotten better, sure, but Pitt's, you know, bigs have just allowed this explosion to happen.
George, last question. The schedule so far, how much has that benefited Pitt, and when does it really toughen up? Does that start with LSU? Are they any good? Or when does it really start to toughen?
Yeah, so the schedule so far, I think, has been a big benefit compared to last year. The teams that they've played so far have been, again, those bye games that you're going to pay a school hundreds of thousands of dollars to come and show up and, you know, beat the crap out of them, for lack of a better term. But they've been better versions of those bye games. Murray State was a real tough challenge. Obviously, the West Virginia game is a yearly thing. That's going to be a tough game. Usually, Pitt got the better of them. But Pitt's 4-1 against the spread. I mean, they've gotten the job done against teams where they had to get the job done against. And I think it's helped them a lot. I mean, clearly, this team's already moved up around 20 spots in Ken Pomeroy's rankings. They're in the top 16 in the country. Like, that's – I know it's early. I know it's early to throw around the name Ken Pom around here. But it's they're doing something right. They're beating these teams by a lot, but they're beating them by more than expected. Now, in terms of the schedule coming up, it starts now. There's five straight games against high major opponents, Power Four conference opponents. LSU's a good team. I watched them last night. They kind of squeaked by a bad Charleston Southern team, so that was a bit concerning for LSU in the first half. But they got the job done. They've got some good players, Cam Carter, Jordan Sears. Like, this team is loaded with talent. They've just got to put it all together. And they've got size to compete with Pitt, so that should be a tough game. Then they've got Ohio State, Pitt on the road after this Greenbrier event. I should say they will play either Wisconsin or UCF. And then Ohio State, Mississippi State, and Virginia Tech. So it starts now. Like, obviously the season started 5 games ago, but if you're really looking at it from a fan perspective here, you know, when should I tune in if you're a Pitt fan? When should I start going to games? It's right now when they get back in town, because these next few games are huge. They're very important. And if Pitt comes out on the other end with earning 3 to 5 wins in this stretch, it's going to be something where, okay, this team is now ranked, and this team is now being spoken about in the conversation of the NCAA tournament and back on the national radar.
George, great stuff, man. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you, I think, next week.
Yep, sounds good with me, Joe. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Take care. George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now. Limits, let's dive back into Steelers-Browns and the kind of game this is. We'll get back into the iconic pony take from yesterday. But first, tell me a little bit about what Ben had to say this week. He had a number of interesting clips on his footballin' podcast, did he not?
Joe, this was one of the most fun Ben podcasts to watch this week, as Ben went after John Harbaugh a little bit, and he took a shot at the Cleveland Browns while also talking about how the Ravens try to approach Renegade. How about that?
Let's hear it.
Here is first Ben talking about Renegade, the Ravens playing it at practice.
This is a true story. So obviously everyone knows Renegade. We helped the Steelers win with Renegade
right.
in Washington.
That is right.
You that didn't watch, go watch. What I think, so Renegade is such a unique thing to the stadium, right? Mm-hmm. When it plays, the fans go nuts. It gets really loud, and it has this like special power.
It does.
The Ravens were the first team that I ever saw when I was playing that when that song came on, it was like Harbaugh and them. They would play it at practice sometimes. When it came on, they would reverse psychology. Like, hey guys, when they play Renegade, let's use this as a hype video for us. Like, what? Let's get excited. So I remember when it would come on, their guys would get on the bench and start like getting hyped, like it was their hype song.
Yeah.
And I think what it's doing is it's all in the game. It's all in the psyche. It's all in the sticks. It's something. It's just the more the cooking in the kitchen.
Cooking in the kitchen. I like that part. Now, what did he say about Harbaugh and Tomlin? I want to hear that if you have it, Limits, because like all of us, it seemed that Ben very closely observed the coaching matchup in that game and gave Mike Tomlin a massive advantage. I certainly did. Do you have that clip?
Yes, here's Ben talking about how Mike Tomlin is impacting it.
I'm going to say this because I appreciate this guy. I think he's a really, really good coach. He's a Miami, Ohio guy.
Hey.
But to be honest, I really think that Mike Tomlin's cooking in Harbaugh's kitchen.
Mm.
He's all in that. He's all up in here. Brownies. Mm. He's Chef Evan up there.
Oh.
He's Chef Evan up
wow.
in the kitchen.
Wow. Good for you,
just
Coach
cooking.
T.
I think that Tomlin's out coaching him. And it's not just Tomlin. It's not just head and head. But, you know, taking a timeout before the 2-point conversion at the end of the game to see what they're in. And then, you know, I just think that the way that Coach Belichick used to out coach certain teams.
Yeah.
It feels like that's what we're doing to them. We're just out coaching them.
Man, I agree with that. However, as I said yesterday, as great as it is to be dominating the Ravens right now, and what's better than that? This is not college football. You know, this ain't college football. The Steelers need to do something outside the division. Going 5-1 in the division didn't even help them, really, not to win the division and certainly not to win a playoff game. So this appears to be a great matchup these days for the Steelers and a terrible one for the Ravens. But the real question is what these teams are both going to do outside the rivalry. And even if Harbaugh is getting outcoached here, man, he sure seems to do a good job overall. I mean, he loses leads and things like that, but he also wins a lot of games lately, including a couple of playoff games. Did they still underachieve? Maybe. Maybe they still have underachieved. Probably last year, yes. But at least they got to the AFC title game. And then you can say, well, he has Lamar Jackson. Yeah, he has Lamar Jackson. He's the guy who, and their GM, who drafted Lamar Jackson. These guys drafted Kenny Pickett earlier in a draft. So unfortunately for the Steelers, it doesn't just come down to what you do against the Baltimore Ravens, but it has been very enjoyable. And Tomlin absolutely outcoached Harbaugh badly the other day. I still can't believe that Derrick Henry wasn't on the field for the two-point conversion. I'm taking my chances on giving the ball to him every time there. And if not, the Steelers have to account for him. You should give yourself all kinds of options on that play. It appeared the Ravens gave themselves one. I don't know if they screwed up the play, but how on the goal line, when you have that guy, can you not use some form of fooling the Steelers? Stick it in Henry's belly, right? And then pull it and run. Zay Flowers wasn't on the field. At least give yourself an option of throwing the ball to somebody in the end zone. I mean, limits. I still can't believe that went down, but credit Tomlin.
I was just fully surprised, Joe, that there was nobody on that side of the field that would even be an eligible man, really, to make the target. I mean, there was one that kind of got lost up in the shuffle, but Lamar had no options. And if it was a jet, it was just a design run, then he wouldn't have hesitated. So the whole thing just seemed discombobulated from the start. And a lot of that is because Nick Herbig blew the play up. But I agree with Ben. They are in the Ravens' heads. It's not just Lamar. It's Harbaugh. It's that organization right now. I mean, when you went 8-9, how wouldn't you be?
That's just a fact right now. All right, coming up, I feel like we're missing something here, Limits. I feel like what the general just told us about this Pirates offer and about this Skeens card has really captured a huge segment of Pittsburgh sports fans. I really do. When he tells me he's getting boxes of cards and they're going in seconds, it's a fascinating thing that captures people's imaginations. And we can joke about Willy Wonka, but part of the magic of that and of lottery tickets and things like that, people think that they can win it, and they can. Technically, everybody has a chance to win this gigantic prize. I think we have a Willy Wonka situation going on in our own city here with the Pirates' huge offer. If you find this one rare Paul Skeens card, you have the golden ticket. Let's get back to that, shall we, Limits?
Let's do it.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. I don't feel like I gave this story enough attention when it came out. And now, and I even see on the AP version of this, it really has created a Willy Wonka-like effect for the golden ticket. God bless me. This Paul Skeens card, this magical card, one of a kind. There's only one out there. Everybody wants it. There's a certain lore to lottery tickets. And I don't have it, by the way. Part of me does for this card, but not really. I have a lot of things that maybe aren't helpful to me. An addiction to caffeine, an addiction to sugar, I watch too much sports. Lots of things that aren't particularly good for me. What I don't have, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but what I don't have is the lore of the lottery ticket. And I don't know about you, Limits, but sometimes I'll be in a 7-Eleven somewhere and people will ask for lottery tickets. And I'm like, my thought is you're just flushing your money down the toilet, especially when it's, you know, one in a trillion type thing. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but that's the way I feel. But I also understand. I understand. I get it at some level. And obviously, it's a lore for a lot of people. That's why they sell so many lottery tickets.
Yeah, I'm not a huge lottery guy, Joe. Like, not really at all. But I'm in full agreeance with you on this card. It just has, seems like, more value than just a card. Any card, obviously, because of the monetary value for it, but because it's Skeens. And I think people thinking that he could be the greatest of all time can make this card worth something
Yes,
that's
it's,
not
like,
now.
It's like the golden ticket.
Yes.
That's what I was trying to articulate. There's a certain magic to it. Who's going to find it? That was the whole theme of that movie. Who's going to get this chance, this one in a million chance? I want to get this chance. And yes, you're right. The fact that it's Skeens makes it so. So we had the general, Jeff Patton, from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry come on and tell us about that lore and about how he's getting, you know, boxes of these cards and they're just flying off the shelves. And the Pirates, in an unprecedented move, they want this card to the point where they're willing to put together a package that includes season tickets behind home plate at PNC Park for 30 years, a softball game on the field, a meet and greet with Skeens, all of that, maybe more, who knows, plus Livy Dunn got into the act here, saying whoever produces the card and trades it with the team can take in a Pirates game alongside her in a luxury suite. I mean, all of this. So, of course, people are going crazy. I get it. Let's hear what the general said, because he can quantify that better than any of us.
Every single day we're out of the product, and I have more cases overnighted, and I meet the UPS man here at 8:30 in the morning. Today's regiment is almost gone already. Every single day we go through 40 or 50 boxes. It's the most unprecedented thing ever. And don't ever say the Pirates don't know how to market, because for $0, they put out a story on Friday afternoon in November and took headlines. If we could only do that on the field, but they took marketing headlines by this campaign of theirs. I mean, it's all that people are talking about.
There you go. So somewhere out there, there's a Grandpa Joe just like me, somebody who's been in bed for 30 years, and the grandkid will walk in with the golden ticket, with the Skeens card, and Grandpa Joe will jump out of bed and suddenly spring to life limits. This is that type of magical fairy tale. It's going to come true for somebody. So I do get the lore. I've seen where some TV stations have said they're going to open packs on the air. And I want to ask you right now, are we allowed to do that? Can you check on that? Can you imagine if you and I could get a couple packs and open them on the air, the suspense we would engender there?
I'll find out right now, because if we are able to do it, we definitely should.
I think we should. Don't leave me, because I'm out at JP Roofing and Siding.
The answer is yes, we could do that on the air.
It'd be unbelievable. I'm telling you that right now. Can you imagine if we got it? Then what do we do with it? We're not allowed to win, are we, or are we?
Well, I think we're not eligible for the General's card of the week, but I think we would be eligible to win the card. I mean, we're just like fans like anyone else that would be
able to have it. Just like anyone else? Yeah. Let's do that. So your job is to go get us a box of cards today. Can you do that?
If I can find one.
Well, let's get to the lines here, because the other thing the General told us is that the Pirates are already getting met by other offers. Like there's other people. Did he mention who they are? Or what kind of offers are out there? He thinks that the Pirates are going to have to up that offer.
I haven't seen too many that are public. I can put some further research into that. But I would imagine that whatever that offer would be worth for the Pirates, somebody's just going to offer X amount of $1 million for the card.
$1 million?
I could see $1 million, maybe 1.5 for this card, yes.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know about that.
If Matt Holliday is putting up $100,000 for the Jackson Holliday card, I know that's his son. What could Paul Skeens, who might be the next Nolan Ryan, greatest pitcher of all time, Bob Gibson, fetch? What could it get?
Well, the general said that the people who come into his store, and these are the type of people who are, you know, traffic in these things, he took an informal poll of 100 people and said, would you take the Pirates' offer? And 85 said no. Would you? If we open this thing on the air and Little Limits gets the magical card, which is a rookie, it's got a patch, a Topps trading card with a patch from Skeens' rookie pitcher jersey and his autograph. If you open this, the Little Wonder Twin, Would you take the Pirates' offer or go for something more?
I would strongly consider the offer, but I would use it as a bargaining chip and say, hey, I have what you want. I have all the leverage here. If you really want this, you're going to offer me more than what you originally put out there. This is your initial offer. There's going to be more negotiating.
That's a kind way of saying what I would say is I'll take the season tickets, the softball game, the meet and greet, and the Livy Dunn meet and greet, and you can add hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's what I would say. I think I would say that.
Yeah, you need to. I mean, if you have something that everyone is coveting, if you have all the leverage in this situation, why not use it to your advantage? Especially if you are going to ultimately give it to the Pirates.
Could you bargain your way into a spot on the team? I hear they need hitting. What if you said you just wanted to bat leadoff one game, and what's the difference if you have Key Brian Hayes batting leadoff anyway?
You get to make a pinch hit appearance in the ninth, bases loaded, nobody's out, tying runs on third.
You might give him a better chance to win. I would say I wanted to appear in a game. Seriously, what if they let you? If they signed you to a one-day contract and said city limits can take an at-bat in a major league game, what would you do?
I think that they would definitely do that for a spring training game. Remember when Garth Brooks was signed to like a 10-day
yes.
contract and they had him play out there? They would do
yes.
it in spring training. They would not do it for a regular season game and make you an official member of the major leagues. I feel like that would ruffle way too many feathers in clubhouses.
know,
it would just be so
of.
Bad. Here's Joe Starkey batting leadoff for the Pirates.
Well, I could be wrong about this, about the magic and the lore of all of this. But let's put it to the test here. Like, are people interested in this at 412-928-9370? The general just told us that cases of cards are coming off the shelves every day at his place, the Baseball Card Castle. He meets the UPS guy or whoever every morning at 8:30, and then they start to sell like hotcakes. Like, are you people out there enchanted by this at all? Are you? And would you take the Pirates' offer for this card? You know what we didn't ask? Or maybe we did and I missed it? What does the general think this card is ultimately worth money-wise?
Yeah, I don't think we did get that from the general.
Text him, please.
I'll ask. We do have and a couple people who would like to weigh in as well.
All right, while I'm talking to them, text the general, and how could we miss that question? I'm ashamed of myself. Ask him how much this card he thinks will ultimately be worth. Who do we got?
Let's start with Troy on the mount.
Hello, Troy.
Yo, this is the shiestiest deal you could ever imagine. I can't believe the Pirates are putting something this low and this terrible out as a package for one of those.
Well, how much do you think this will be worth?
Listen, one of my buddies is in this line of work. He does this. He trades cards and he gets I guarantee you, in 5 years from now, that card is north of $2 million. I guarantee it. And they're trying to give you season tickets.
North of $2
million?
North of $2 million? Well, it's not just any meet and greet, by the way. A lot of people would highly value, and I appreciate the call, a meet and greet with Livy Dunn. I mean, first of all, how much would season tickets be for 30 years? Oh, limitless wonder. How much are they for 1 year? Do you know?
I would say, it's obviously depending on where it is. If it's the club that's like specifically right behind home plate, which I believe this is, I don't know, 5,000 maybe?
That's it? For the club seats? Let's say they're $5,000 a year. Oh, here we go. They're up to 12,000. Let's say you get the 12,000 and then times 30, that's $360,000. Yeah, they're going to have to up that, I think, and maybe play a little better baseball to make it worth the buck. No pun intended. Next.
Let's go to Bert in Blonox.
Actually, the pun was intended. Hello, Bert.
Hey, Joe. A couple things real quick. First of all, I wouldn't take the Pirates' offer. Secondly, the thing that I think a lot of people, I mean, it's great to know about this card and its value at the moment, but, you know, heaven forbid, Hauskeen blows his arm out, now all of a sudden, what happens? Whoever pays $1 million for this card, I don't know if it's going to be worth that. Okay,
well,
so you're taking a risk in that regard.
Sure.
And finally, I'm still mystified as to why the Pirates want this card. Does Bob Nutting want it for his own collection or something? That's all I got. Bye.
Ask the general that question too, Limits. I mean, I guess just because it's so rare, you'd want it in your own archives. Maybe want to display it somewhere. Or am I out of my mind? Why do they want this so badly? For the obvious reason?
Yeah, they said they want to just have it displayed at PNC Park for all Pirates fans to enjoy, is what their explanation was.
Well, that actually kind of makes sense to me, doesn't it, to you?
Yeah, it fully does. If it's that historic, I'm sure the Pirates would like it, maybe in their own personal, put it right by the Pirates Hall of Fame, even.
Did you buy the pack of cards yet?
No. Joe, I mean, you heard how quickly they're selling. I got to go into more detail on how to get them.
I was only kidding, Limits. Join audio radio stations, Pitt Athletics, and Saloni's Italian Bakery at the Market District at Settlers Ridge. Wait a second. Limits, what's today?
The 20th.
Okay, then you can actually still do that today. Today's the last day from 2 until 7 p.m. While you're out buying supplies for your tailgates and Turkey Day celebrations, help us fill up the truck to benefit Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and support your local community members. Help us bring home the biggest haul to Pitt. Learn more at 93.7thefan.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.